Keep It Simple by Kate Titterton. Day one. Hi. Hi. I actually don't know how. Sorry. This is much harder than I thought it would be. Hi, again. I'm sorry about earlier. I asked them about how I should do this. They said it might be easier if I tell you some things that have happened to me, like a diary. It'll help you get an idea of, well, my side of the story, I guess. That way it'll make more sense to you, in the end. Seeing as though I won't ever meet you. I always wanted to be a journalist. My teachers used to say they could never tell with me. They could never tell where the truth ended and the story started. I never told lies, you see. I just told stories. It all started with a lazy morning. I had nothing better to do, so I decided to go for a coffee. I sat in the window seat of a small cafe, looking out at the passers-by. I loved doing that. I'd watch them and formulate their stories in my head, what their relationships were and what they meant to each other. I'd watch their body language and imagine their dialogues. The day was sunny and there wasn't much wind. That helped. If the weather is bad, people hunker down into their clothing, like children hiding under a duvet from the monster under the bed, darting around like tiny little fish in an aquarium. Nice weather means people's faces are open and honest, and they spend longer meandering around the streets, offering me an opportunity to consider, really consider who they are. Of course, the beauty of my game was that I never knew if I was right or wrong. Except for this time. This time I did. And I was wrong about many things, but it didn't matter. The real dialogue was far more interesting than I could ever have dreamt it. Most of the backstories that I conjured up in my mind were, well, fairly run-of-the-mill, maybe even boring. The two women that I'd focused my prying mind on were on the opposite side of the road from my little vantage point in the cafe. One, the taller, slimmer one of the two, came out from a shop and almost got taken out by the other, a smartly dressed businesswoman in a tailored suit that looked expensive and was almost certainly dry clean only. You know, I always feel cheated when I've bought something new and go to wash it for the first time, only to realise that it's dry clean only. I feel annoyed that the garment will continue to cost me money every time I wear it. I feel like I've been duped into renting it rather than really owning it. Then I put it in the washing machine on a cold wash and cross my fingers. The next 90 minutes are tense as I await the result of my heinous act. Has the beautiful dress been ruined beyond repair? Back to my two women. After their close encounter, they both stopped, and the taller one, who I called Rachel, tenderly held Claire's arms, just above the elbow. Intimate, without being too intimate. Not a full embrace, but something friends would do, not strangers. There was an exchange of pleasantries, maybe? On the surface, the two looked like a mismatch. Rachel, in her active wear, looked to me like she was very relaxed. She was confident in her figure. She was tall and she knew how to use this to her advantage. Shoulders relaxed, but clearly toned. And she had a good posture. No slouching for Rachel. Yoga. She was a yoga teacher. She was between classes and had popped to the shop for a new herbal remedy that one of the women in her class had mentioned to her. It was better than caffeine for waking you up, and it didn't have the same toxic effect on your body. Win-win. Claire was a stark contrast. The suit, heels and jacket. She clutched a transportable coffee mug. I knew it was not the first of the day for her. This woman knew how to use caffeine to its full effect. Her team would definitely threaten to walk out if she ever decided to kick the dirty habit. I imagined her handbag, a beautiful mulberry briefcase-cum handbag, concealed a very well-travelled packet of cigarettes. On really stressful days, she would sneak out behind the courtroom for a cheeky puff on a cigarette. Of course Claire was a high-powered lawyer. She had to be. Her posture defied the confidence that her suit portrayed. She hunched a little, as if she was shrinking, to make herself look smaller and less conspicuous. Her head bowed, and she'd been carefully scanning the pavement with her eyes, hence why she'd bumped into Rachel in the first place. Had she lost something, or was she distracted? Trying not to catch anyone's eye, trying to go unnoticed. Rachel was still holding on, as if she was concerned that Claire might blow away. But there was no wind, no real reason to anchor her. My mind flitted from scenario to scenario. What could these two women be chatting about? Rachel looked concerned. Something had happened to Claire. Something big. Something bad, too. I sipped my coffee and let the ideas fizz away like an Alka-Seltzer in my brain. The ideas quickly bubbled to the surface. And then some sunk away, whilst others remained on the top, before popping and spitting out their content. Claire was a student of Rachel's, and was a regular in her yoga classes. It was a friendly group, and they often went for kale and mushroom shakes to cleanse themselves after classes. They'd become genuine friends. Claire had applied for a new job recently, and the interview process had been grueling. Rachel had been supportive and offered extra help with relaxation techniques and sleep therapies. Claire had literally just found out today that she'd been unsuccessful in getting the job. Rachel was saying all the usual stuff. She believed in fate, and the right job is just around the corner, and it's their loss, blah, 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 blah. Let me buy you a cabbage and blueberry shake to make you feel better. With that, the two women crossed the street and headed to my cafe. I was genuinely a little excited. What if they were Rachel and Claire? Oh, it was a rare treat for me to actually get to know if my predictions were true. I realised that I was staring as they entered and ordered their drinks. Rachel did indeed order a cold drink that looked, well, pretty reminiscent of pond water. And Claire, a coffee. Boom! Maybe I was good at this. I had to literally stifle my glee when they chose the table next to me. In earshot. I could give myself marks for all the things I genuinely guessed correctly. I fumbled in my tatty old handbag for a scrap of paper. I eventually found an old petrol receipt screwed up and partially stuck to the bottom by a sweet that had definitely seen better days. My dad and I were just the same. We would always have an emergency sweet on us, just in case. It made me consider what the just in case might be. I mean, if you got stuck on a broken down train and they'd run out of food to keep you from starving, and you were in a remote wilderness where help would take 6 hours to get to you, my Mint Imperial was hardly going to provide enough sustenance to maintain life. Note to self, ditch the emergency sweet collection. The receipt would do. I just needed to keep a tally of the corrects and the not corrects. I found a pen too. Everyone has a pen, just in case. The cafe was pretty quiet, so my ability to earwig was not hampered by the background noise of 20 other conversations trying to compete with the noisy coffee machine burbling away in the background. But this is real life, not a movie. So it was much harder than I thought it would be to follow what the women were saying to each other. As is true for real people who aren't being filmed, they didn't enunciate clearly, and they were making a point of speaking quietly. The content of their discussion obviously not meant for common knowledge. Claire was divulging a secret. Claire spent the majority of the time with her hands strategically placed just below her navel, cupping her lower abdomen. The rest of the conversation was snippets. I caught the odd word or phrase, but I still had to fill in the gaps. The one thing I could definitely confirm was that Claire had been married to her husband for 20 years. She'd blurted this out in a real outburst that had caused Rachel to leap out of her seat very elegantly, like a gazelle, and hurry around to her side of the table, where she gracefully knelt down on the floor, looking up to her, almost pleading her to calm. Claire couldn't believe it. And that's where I lost track, really. There were tears and mumbling, which seemed to go on for ages. And then, in a real sudden flurry, Claire picked up her bag, said something incoherent to Rachel, and fled the scene. Rachel didn't follow her. I was so desperate to go over and talk to Rachel. I was just about to when the waitress came over to ask if I needed another coffee. She was polite enough, but there was a passive-aggressive subtext that said, "You are taking up a table, and you haven't spent any money in nearly an hour. Move on." So I left. I guessed I'd never know the real story of Rachel and Claire. Oh, I really have to sign off there. It's getting late and we have a really strict schedule here. I'll be back tomorrow, if I can.